Ephesians chapter 2, thank you, verses 1 and 2. So if you'll stand, I'll read these scriptures. And it may seem it's not a part of the message, but it definitely is. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. Who's the children of disobedience? They have a spirit that's working in them that is very different from what we believe. This message is the evil twins of Israelite. Who do you think they are? What's our two presidential candidates? In November, the United States of America will vote for the President of the United States. And there's only two candidates who have the opportunity to win enough electoral votes. That's what? Total 270 electoral votes to win the election. That's Mitt Romney of the Republican Party and Barack Obama of the Democratic Party. Let me ask you a question. What happened at the conventions? What happened to Ron Paul and his delegates? I can remember in the past how it took vote after vote after vote and sometimes after vote to decide who would be the party's president. Then they went through the same process, who would be the vice president. I liked that. That was very exciting. And if no one could make the majority, then they'd pick another one. And that was always exciting because the guy in second place, if he got enough votes that he didn't get the 270 and they kept on voting and no one got 270, they had to pick another guy. But now, it was all decided before the convention even met. Romney and Obama were already the candidates before they were even made the candidates. The Republican convention had many women as delegates who were also speakers. I don't think many people recognize that being something very strange, but it certainly was. And Romney made a speech about how great was her husband, the Mormon father of her five boys. And she told how she was actually a former Episcopalian who converted to Mormonism to marry Mitt. Now, her parents were not allowed to be in the Mormon temple for their marriage because they were not Mormon. A few of the delegates were non-white, as well as a few of the speakers. Marco Rubio would be an example of a Latino speaker. The Democratic Convention was noticeably full of women delegates, many of them non-white. Michelle, like Anne, told how great was her husband and the father of her two girls. The vast minority were white men, as there were a vast number of non-white men in the convention, too. The speakers had most of the non-white people excited at the convention. Even the speech by Nancy Pelosi. Now, she's the one whose investments have gone up 876% over her 20 years as a congressman. How did that happen? One of her main points was women's choice of aborticide. The main nominating speech was given by former President Bill Clinton, and I saw that speech. Now, let's see. This is Bill Clinton, the man who had several of his agents who were not loyal to him, men who were going to testify against Bill Clinton about what happened at Waco, blown up in the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. Now, what was the story? A truck with fertilizer parked outside the building, blew up. There was no crater under the truck. And the building blew outward, not inward. Another purpose of the building, besides killing those two agents, was to pass the stalled legislation about anti-terrorism and the effective death penalty Act of 1996, which tightened the standards for habeas corpus in the United States. And this is the man who had another three of his agents murdered in the airplane. What airplane was that? TWA 800, that they blew up as it was on its way to England. Men who were disloyal to Clinton and who were traveling to tell the London media about what was going on in his administration. You know that a French satellite has pictures of a missile hitting TWA 800. In fact, Clinton has murdered or had murdered over 108 people so far. Now, what was it that he said? The election process seems to have been going on for a long time, doesn't it? With neither candidate addressing the real national problems or giving any real solutions. For example, neither explained why the federal government cannot balance the budget without practically eliminating Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment, and other mandatory programs that cost $2.2 trillion in this year's budget, which just about equals all the taxes taken in by the government. Either they would have to eliminate all the mandatory programs, or the federal government would have to be totally eliminated. But how can they? Barack was raised a Muslim and has been supported by anti-Christian Jews and the Mafia of Chicago. Romney is a lifetime Mormon, which teaches that man can become a god, just like they teach that the God of the Bible did. Does this make any difference what a person believes? I mean, can an atheist become president? Does a person have to be a Christian in order to rule over a nation of Christians? Yes. And that is the way our nation started. A religious, which was a Christian test, was given and had to be passed before a person could hold office or could vote or could be part of a jury. What changed that? The Constitution of the United States changed all this. When it allowed all people to become a representative or a senator or a Supreme Court member or an executive member of the federal government. We experienced a great change. Our Savior has been practically eliminated from any consideration in government. Let me read you Article 6, Section 3. Quote, the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States, unquote. What is a Christian to do? Who is a Christian to vote for? Maybe the answer is simple. Don't vote for anyone. Maybe do as Mark said. Vote for Jesus Christ. His Father's laws have the solution that we need. I'll just give you a few of them. No Federal Reserve banks. No fractional reserve banking, no income tax, no FBI, no IRS. You know, at one time we didn't have all this stuff. And Israel was to be kept separate. You know what the Bible says? No interest was allowed to be charged to other Israelites. No loan was to last more than 6 years. That was the Sabbath year that occurred after every 6 years. Rural lands to return to every family who owned them every 50 years. You could never get rid of your property. The Jubilee happened every 50 years. Isn't that fantastic? There'd be no jails for more than a couple weeks. Restitution for all crimes, which also included the death penalty. What's the big industry now in our country? No gambling. No gambling industries. The sexual sins would be reestablished. There'd be no government birth certificates or marriage license. One time there wasn't any. There'd be new eating habits. No hogs, no catfish, no lobsters, no shrimp, no squirrels are to be eaten. The Sabbath day would be reestablished. And on it goes. We have the Democratic candidate and Republican candidate. For president, we have Barack Obama. He believed Islam in his youth. That teaches that Jesus is not divine, but was a prophet of God. He went to church for 20 years with Jeremiah Wright, who is a black supremacist. And he has anti-Christian Jewish back advisors. Man, he's got all three. Mitt Romney is a lifetime Mormon, which teaches another Jesus. Men who become gods. His best friend for over 40 years was, I can't pronounce his name, Netanyahu of anti-Christian Israel. For vice president, we have Joe Biden, who's a pro-choice Roman Catholic, and Pat Ryan, who's a miscegenated Roman Catholic, and I'll explain that later. So if this is America's choice, Obama and Biden, and Romney and Ryan, there is no Protestant candidate, and we have no candidate who believes in covenant theology. All four believe in universalism. We have four anti-Christians to choose from. Get this, people who could not have even run or vote or hold a political office in pre-constitutional America. Our president and vice president will both be non-Jesus Christ believers, antichrist. Are we to vote for the lesser of two electable evils? Shall we trade our birthright for a mess of political pottage? What shall it profit us if we gain the White House and lose our nation? In the beginning of our nation, this couldn't be, as none of these four could vote or hold office in our nation, let alone run for the two highest offices in the nation. And did you know that no woman or person of another race could vote or hold office either? Think about that as you saw the conventions. But that is another sermon. Both Obama's supposed father, we don't even know who his father really was, and Romney's grandfather were polygamists. Both had at least five wives and many children. Obama's father, they tell us, lived in Kenya and went to school in America. Romney's grandfather went to Mexico in order to live his polygamous lifestyle. Both Obama and Romney are not even qualified to be a president according to our Constitution that they pledge they're going to uphold. Whoever gets elected, say, I'm going to uphold the Constitution and I'm resigned from office because I'm not qualified. What does that matter to most people of our nation? We need to fear God's judgment far more than we fear a second term of Obama. As a Republic schoolmaster, Noah Webster said, quote, it is alleged by men of loose principles or defective views of the subject that the Christian religion and morality are not necessary or important qualifications for political stations. But the scriptures teach a different doctrine. And if government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws, unquote. You see, if creation's true and evolution, you got the two basic beliefs, right? Creation, there's a God. God made the laws. If you believe in evolution, a man makes the laws. Well, what men make what laws? We know how bad Obama and Biden have been. What about Romney and Ryan? Let's look at his religion of Mormonism first. Now, here's a building in Salt Lake City that's a part of the Mormon building. Does anybody see something about this building? Can you see it? What? That's the same thing that's on whose flag? Oh. Would you put that? We put that on our window. What church would put that on their window? It's the six-pointed Jewish star. It's a major hex sign of the occult. It's the symbol on the Jewish flag and on this building. The six-pointed star shows that Mormonism's connection with the Jewish doctrines taught in the Kabbalah. That's where Freemasonry is based, in the Kabbalah. Joseph Smith had access to ancient Jewish rites called Kabbalahism. That he not only knew something of Kabbalahism in Navo and Illinois is, however, documented in material almost totally overlooked by Mormon historians. Can anyone familiar with the history and personality of Joseph Smith, the prophet who restored the secret knowledge and rituals conveyed to Adam, who translated the works of Abraham, Enoch, and Moses and restated Genesis, question that he would ever have been interested in the original version of this Jewish occult tradition? Certainly the first text Joseph Smith would have confronted was the Zohar, the great heart of the Kabbalah. This might explain why in 1844 Joseph Smith, and what may be his single great discourse and the most important public statement of his theological vision, apparently quotes almost word for word, the first section of the Zohar. That's from a book of Joseph Smith and the Kabbalah, The Occult Connection. Well, in 1831, how many years was that after the church began? 1 year. 1 year after the church was organized by Joseph Smith, a man by the name of Orson Hyde, who was 26 years old, who was of what ancestry? Jewish ancestry, was confirmed a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by the prophet Joseph Smith. When Joseph laid his hands on the head of Orson Hyde, he gave a unique blessing, whereas he prophesied the following, and I quote, "In due time, thou shalt go to Jerusalem, the land of thy fathers." Now, he's a Jewish person. "And be a watchman unto the house of Israel. And by thy hand shalt the Most High do a great work, which shall prepare the way and greatly facilitate the gathering of that people." Orson Hyde went to Palestine in the Garden of Gethsemane and prophesied for the Jews' return to the land that God gave Israel, not the Jews. This was the year 1841 when he prophesied for the Jews to return and do something else, to return and to rebuild the temple. Both Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are agents of the Israeli Mossad. Their entire lives have been guided and controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency and Israeli Mossad superiors. Romney was teamed with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. Can you say it? Thank you. Right out of college, and worked for Bain, a Mossad-affiliated private investment company. For over two decades, Barack Obama's ties to wealthy Jewish ideologies are revealed, as well as his links to the Jewish mafia. Now, do you know what this is a picture of? It's a picture of Joseph Smith meeting with God in the early 1820s, who told him that he was to join no church. Why? For all their creeds were an abomination to him. Remember that? And 7 or 8 years later, he had the Mormon church begun. They began the Mormon church. Thus, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a restoration church. It's less than 200 years old. Therefore, it cannot be Christian. Now, Mitt Romney, during the Olympics, went to England, then he went to Israel, then he went to Poland. The Republican presidential hopeful held a fundraiser in Israel. It's wrong on so many levels. He forbid American newscasters and reporters from seeing his actual fundraising activities. While he visited Israel, he received much support from many anti-Christian Jews. Let me ask you a question. What do you think they want in return for their support? The connection between Romney and Tom Netanyahu goes back decades. It started in the mid-1970s when they were both corporate consultants at the Boston Consulting Group, and their friendship has lasted for nearly 40 years. Netanyahu, the world-wise politician, occasionally offered advice to Romney, the successful financier turned politician. Yet the friendship until recently had gone largely unnoticed, or at least until Romney emerged as the likely 2012 GOP presidential nominee and during a recent debate brought attention to it. I remember this during the debate. Responding to a controversial statement Newt Romney had made about the Palestinians, Romney said, quote, "Before I make a statement of that nature, I'll get on the phone to my friend Bibi Netanyahu," or something like that, "and ask for his advice." Remember that? Israel is paramount to peace in the Middle East, more so than places like France, Great Britain, and China, said Tyler Harbor, a Republican strategist. He said Romney aides realize the strategic importance of the Israelite stop between scheduled visits to England and Poland because they know American voters pay close attention to Israel, and forming strong ties in that country could help Romney improve his stature among Jewish voters back home who typically vote Democrat. Obama is, of course, just as bad as Romney. An Israelite is forbidden to vote for a bastard, for Obama is half black and he's half white. And the verse is, "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." It's Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 15. Obama went to Israel several years ago and also, like Romney, said his prayers at the Wailing Wall with the yarmulke on and left a prayer or two written on paper in the crack of the walls. Hillary Clinton also went to Israel around the time that Romney went. Do you know, in fact, before the last election, Hillary and Obama were in a hot race, very tight. They both went to the Bilderberg meeting and were told that Obama would be the candidate for the president and he would pick Hillary for Secretary of State. And this year, his opponent, Mitt Romney, the high priest in the Mormon Church, falls under this verse, quote, "But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. It's Deuteronomy 18:20. Now let's look at his vice president candidate, Paul Ryan. He also is worthy of death under the Old Testament standards. Why? He said that he dated a black cheerleader in his days at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Well, that's the school I went to. So I did a little research. Her name was Donata Pope, was the black girl that he dated in college. And Ryan suffered backlash from people he considered his friends for dating her. Ryan admitted to dating Pope and offered a vague account of the racial discrimination. Well, this is politically correct. The racial discrimination he suffered as a result of his interracial relationship. His friends were trying to help him. They should have told him what the Bible says about interracial dating. Here is the quote from Paul Ryan. My college sweetheart was black. I just experienced some ugly comments, some racist views from people I thought were friends of mine. Ryan also has a black sister-in-law. As his brother married a black woman, Ryan dated Donata most of her college career. It wasn't just one or two dates. It was for 5 years he dated her. If you know anything about what goes on now, you know what else happened. They have remained friends since college, with her a Democrat, making at least three donations to Ryan's political campaigns. And just 3 months before his nomination to the Republican Party's vice president spot, Ryan and his wife attended Pope's second wedding. She married a white man. Ryan, an Irish Roman Catholic, has also indicated that the relationship with Pope helped shape his views on race. And then he became, quote, a big, big fan of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Pope was indicted by a grand jury in November 1999 and pleaded guilty 2 years later to manufacturing and using false receipts and expense reports amounting to tens of thousands of dollars. She served 5 months in federal prison for embezzling $77,000 from Ernst & Young and was released in the year 2002. The scheme against her employer, accounting giant Ernst & Young, involved transferring the fraudulent funds to a secret Chicago bank account. She just got married, and she just purchased a home over $1 million in Chicago. Anybody going to vote for Romney and Ryan? If you're not going to vote for the Republican ticket, think about what Obama did. He dated white women. Obama only passingly mentioned dating white women during his college years. But in a recent Obama biography, girlfriend Geneva Cook said she spent the night with Obama after meeting him at a Brooklyn party, and they bonded over being children of divorced parents. Oh, I guess you can't vote for him either. What's so important about racial interdating or miscegenation? You listen to what former French President Nicolas Sarkozy said on December 17, 2008. I'm going to read you what he said. Quote, what is the goal? It's going to be controversial. The goal is to meet the challenge of racial interbreeding. The challenge of racial interbreeding that faces us in the 21st century. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. It's a obligation. It's imperative. We cannot do otherwise. We risk finding ourselves confronted with major problems. We must change. Oh, what was his change? Therefore, we will change. We are going to change all at the same time. In business, in administration, in education, and in the political parties. And we will obligate ourselves as to the results. Get this part. If this volunteerism does not work for the republic, then the state will move to still more coercive measures. It is to meet the challenge of racial interbreeding. The challenge of racial interbreeding that faces us in the 21st century. You see why Answers in Genesis is an enemy? The challenge of racial interbreeding that France has always known. And in meeting the challenge of racial interbreeding, France is faithful to its history. Unquote. But France is unfaithful to the commands of the God of the Bible. Just think for a second. Sardowski said that France will be faithful to its history and therefore must change to breed interracially. I'm telling you, this is the doctrine of demons straight from the pit of hell. And I will tell you in the next series of sermons where that came from. If it will be completely accepted, then it will completely destroy who? Israel. Become the people of God from being a nation. It's the Jewish communist gold. Every person to be a brownish person. This is the trend of the world in the last few decades. Almost all nations and organizations are fighting to be having the white people disappear by race mixing. My, how America has changed. When the nation began, who were the only people who could vote and hold office? White men. What else has the press failed to mention? The press fails to mention the list of Obama mentors. I'll give you a few of them. United States Communist Party member and for 8 years in Obama's pre-20s was Frank Marshall Davis. There was former radical activist and Chicago educator Bill Ayers, who was a communist terrorist, who said that he wrote Obama's book, Dreams from My Father. Don't believe these people wrote their own books. We have a cousin who was a writer for a very prominent Christian. They don't write their own books. Edward Saad, Roberto Unger, Jeremiah Wright, who was pastor of Obama's church in which he was baptized, married his wife Michelle, his two daughters were baptized, and he was a member for 20 years, and he said he never heard him preach anything like was taught. George Soros, Rami Israel Emanuel, isn't that great, Chicago's on strike, not paying a bit of attention to the mayor? David Axelrod, Tony Rusco, in the 2008 election, now a convicted felon, helped the Obamas buy their first dream home in Chicago, but created a scandal that almost derailed his presidential hopes. And on it goes. The Mormon religion is straight out of the pits of hell. Why do I say that? Mormonism denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Mormonism teaches that a person must be baptized in order to go to heaven. It's baptismal regeneration, the very same thing the Roman Catholics teach. Mormonism is a sexually degenerate cult that is known for pedophilia and abuse. Mormonism has the wrong Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, who is the Almighty God. Should Christians support Israelite? the Jews. Let's listen to a phone conversation that goes back about, 30, 30, 40 years. It's President Nixon with a highly prestigious minister of Judeo-Christianity, Billy Graham. Nixon and Billy Graham are on the telephone. Now, this was a tape. It was hidden for about, it came out a few years later. I'm going to tell you what happened when it came out. But Nixon says, Billy, I have had a little trouble reaching you. Graham says, I've been traveling all over the place. Nixon, wasn't that a horrible thing, those Israelites shooting down that plane? I mean, they shot down an unarmed Boeing 707. Good heavens. And that murdered 108 people, men, women, and children. He says, that's worse than they did at the Olympics on the other side. Graham says, well, you see, there's two other points. One is the front page of papers over the weekend carried the story that they're talking about expelling all Christians from Israel. Dixon. Oh, isn't that nice? Graham. And then the second point is that the Jews in this country are just raising a big and they're damning campus crusade and damning so forth. They are going right after the church. And there's a great deal of feeling beginning to rise. Nixon says it happened in Spain. It's happened in Germany. It's happening. And now it's going to happen in America if these people don't start behaving. Graham says, well, you know, I told you one time that the Bible talks about two kinds of Jews. One is called, quote, the synagogue of Satan, unquote. They're the ones putting out the pornographic literature. They're the ones putting out those obscene films. Now, Billy Graham said that. I didn't say that's Billy Graham. I'll read you one from Al Goldstein, the publisher of Screw Magazine. He says, the only reason the Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks, unquote. He also added, quote, pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture. They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by a moral subversion, unquote. Judy's comedian, Sarah Silverman, she said in her act, good. I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd do it again in a second, unquote. Jews have led the fight against prayer in school, against Christian songs, against Christian symbols being taken down and Jewish symbols erected. They're for abortion. They're for radical feminism. They're for homosexual marriage. Dixon goes on, quote, Newsweek is totally, it's all run by Jews and dominated by them and their editorial pages. The New York Times, the Washington Post, totally Jewish too, unquote. Graham, this stronghold has got to be broken. Oh, it's got to be broken, or this country is going to go down the drain. Do you believe that? Nixon says, yes, sir. I can't ever say it, but I believe it. These phone conversations between President Nixon and Graham were private. But when their phone conversations were made public several decades later, in order to save his ministry, Graham made the following statement. Graham, I went to a Jewish meeting and said that I would crawl to beg their forgiveness, unquote. How about that? Is that power or not? This famous pseudo-Christian must crawl to the anti-Christian Jews and beg for their forgiveness? What an absolute disgrace. The Jews are guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ. Crucify him. Quote, his blood be upon us and our children, Matthew 27:25. Quote, and no man spoke openly of him, speaking of Jesus Christ, for fear of the Jews. That's John chapter 17, verse 13. What exactly is scandalous of the Jewish Talmud, their holy book? How about Jesus being punished in hell for eternity by being made to sit in a cauldron of boiling excrement? Does that make Christians mad? It doesn't. But buddy, if they said that about Allah, you'd have riots in the street. It also says that Jesus is called a bastard and his mother a prostitute. Quote, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." That's Deuteronomy 7:9. Quote, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which seeks to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." It's Revelation 12:17. How do Jews react to Christians in Israel? Number one, they forbid any Christian from preaching Jesus to their people. Jail time is the punishment. Number two, they spit on any Christian clergy. They are proud of this action. Quote, "Every single priest in this church has been spat on. It happens day and night." That's in the Jerusalem Press. And then one of their bishops says, "This Israelite government is anti-Christian." Romney and Obama have pledged the United States to fight Israelite battles for them. No doubt Iran will soon be the target. They're not America's problems. They're Israelite's problem. Some of the most blasphemous and damnable Mormon doctrines. Quote, "We believe in a God who is himself progressive. The church proclaims the eternal truth. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may be," unquote. The second one, "It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God," the inspired word continues, "and to know that we may converse with him as one who converses with another, and that he was once a man like us. Yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on the earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did." The third is a quote from Joseph Smith. Quote, "You've got to learn how to be gods yourselves and to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you, namely by going from one small degree to another and from a small capacity to a greater one. From grace to grace, from exaltation to exaltation, until you attain to the resurrection of the dead. And you are able to dwell in everlasting burnings and sit in glory, as do those who sit enthroned in everlasting power," unquote, Joseph Smith. Here's one from Brigham Young. Quote, "Intelligent beings are organized to become gods. Even the sons of God, to dwell in the presence of the gods, become associated with the highest intelligence that dwell in eternity. We are now in school and must practice upon what we receive," unquote, Brigham Young. You know, the Mormon Church spends $6.73 per member on humanitarian aid annually. The Mormon Church receives $5.8 billion annually in contributions just from members in the United States, and it's increasing. Close to $6 billion a year, and yet they only give $6.73 per member per year to the poor and homeless. This is typical of a man-made cult that has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. The Bible defines religion as helping the poor, fatherless, and widows in their affliction, yet remain unspotted by the wicked world. The Mormon Church is one of the wealthiest religions upon the earth. The Mormon Church, City Creek Mall, and related development is now an astonishing $5 billion. An organization that spends 15 to 20 times more on real estate to help develop malls than on helping the poor is by definition a corporation and not a religion. My conclusion: Mormons masquerade as being true Christians, but they are of the devil. Few people ever come to recognize the true occult nature and satanic depth of the Mormon cult. If you do some research, you will learn quickly that the common denominator between all false so-called religions in America is Freemasonry. These demonic fake religions include Jehovah Witnesses, the Charismatics, Oral Roberts, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, Christian Science, Church of Christ, Scientology, Universal Church, and many, many more. Mormonism is steeped in the Jewish Kabbalah. Freemasonry, Judaism, Kabbalah, and Mormonism are all sex-based cults. The very emblem of Freemasonry, the compass and the carpenter's square, which we saw in the Mormon building, symbolizes sexual intercourse. Although they claim direct guidance by God, the Mormon Church is among the most divided church in the world, with more than 89 different sects who will not cooperate with each other. The Mormon Church was founded in 1830 by Joseph Smith, an occult 33rd degree Freemason, as was Charles Taze Russell, who founded Jehovah Witnesses in the year 1874. Can anybody tell what that is? Looks like CBS, doesn't it? The Mormon Temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, displays the all-seeing eye of Horus above its doors. If you don't think before Noah and after Noah, you got a surprise coming. As is Freemasonry, a Jewish book of occult mysticism which originated from pagan Babylon, where the Jews were in captivity for 70 years. Mormonism is straight out of the pit of hell and is definitely a part of the New World Order. Mitt Romney believes in this false anti-Christian cult. You going to vote for him? In addition, Mormonism believes that Jesus Christ was a polygamist, that he had three wives, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene. These three wives produced many children. One of his direct descendants was, of course, Joseph Smith. Mormons, like Mitt Romney, believe that the reward of living a good Mormon life and being married in the Mormon temple prepares one to become a god after their death. They will get a planet of their own where their goddesses, plural, they will produce the children that will populate the planet. Will you still vote for a man who believes this nonsense? Obama is a man of mystery to most of the population of the United States. Not sure who his father is. He's a man full of secrets and hides his life from the public in many of the institutions that he has been a part of, and he also hides his life. Many do not believe he was born in America, but born in Kenya. But he does not produce a valid birth certificate. He produced one, but it's not valid. It was shown as a fake. He has hid his records from Columbia University. He has hid his travels in the Middle East. He's hidden the fact that both he and Michelle had their law licenses revoked. He has hidden his associations with many pro-communists, with many pro-Israelite money mafia members, and on it goes. How could any Christian vote for this Marxist who's not even of our race? Obama is not an Israelite. He's a Marxist. Joe Biden believes in his baptism and the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church for his salvation, and his Pope as being the substitute for his Savior, but defies his church in believing in pro-choice. Romney believes that he can become a god, just like the god of this earth became a god. And Ryan believes that the bread and wine of the Eucharist service is the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ, and that he interracially dated for 5 years, and he believes in Martin Luther King. Let me tell you what you're voting for. United States of America is a corporation. We have the privilege of voting for the president of the corporation. Every individual in the United States is under the corporation, the Virginia Company, which is under England, which is under the Vatican. May God have mercy on our soul. Remember the covenant. Remember the covenant that you made with Abraham. And then you made it with Isaac. And then you made it with Jacob. And you chose the seed of those three. May it be like the time in Egypt where you heard the cry of your people and you came and saved us. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.